trust. And as I've said before, when love and trust break down in society, what the government has to do is keep making more and more regulations. If people don't love one another anymore and they don't trust one another, then we have to have more and more security arrangements and more rules governing our every move. And the less we trust one another, the more rules we need. If everybody in this country trusted one another and everyone loved one another, there wouldn't be need for many laws. Just a few laws is all we would need. And if there's no love and no trust, then we need an infinite number of laws, which is impossible. So love and trust are essential for any human community. In Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 to 2, we read these words about the state of ancient Israel. I wonder if it reminds you of our country today. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There's no faithfulness, no faith, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. That's Hosea chapter 4's description of England and Scotland in 1993. And why is there a loss of love and faith? It's because love and faith come from hope, as this passage tells us. And there is a loss of hope. People don't have a hope, do they? If they don't believe in heaven or hell, then life will become one frantic rush to get happiness before we depart and be no more. You see, without a belief in eternal life and eternal punishment, then this life becomes just a mad rush, a selfish mad rush to grab all we can before we die. And that attitude gets rid of love and faith. So hope is essential if we're to have love and faith. Paul tells us here that our hope is an inheritance which is a kingdom of light. Our hope is an inheritance. It actually belongs to us. Heaven belongs to us. Not that we've earned it or deserved it, but God has given it to us. He's promised it to us through His Son, and He's adopted us as His children. And so heaven belongs to us by His grace and mercy. And it's described here by Paul as the kingdom of light, in contrast to outer darkness, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, as Jesus said. Now, God is light, the Bible tells us. I'm interested to discover that light is fundamental to the existence of the universe. Did you know that? Without light, there wouldn't be any space or time. There'd be no time or space. You know, if you ask people where light comes from, they may say it comes from light bulbs, and then you ask them a bit further, they'll say, well, light comes from the sun. Is that right? Well, it is. But where did the sun come from? Well, the sun came from light. Light was prior to the sun. We now know. Prior to everything, there is nothing in the whole universe that doesn't depend upon light for its existence. So it's interesting that we read the very first thing that God said is, let there be light. And there was light. And His kingdom of heaven is described as a kingdom of light. From light comes all that there is, the whole universe, all the beauty, all the glory, all the color. Even solid existence itself comes ultimately from light, which God created. Where do we learn about the hope? And where do we learn about faith and love? We learn about the hope that we have through the word of truth, Paul says. We proclaim what is true. We don't say to people, please buy our product. We say to people, believe the truth. Obey the truth. Not all religions are the same, you know. There's only one God. There aren't many. What about those who've never heard the gospel? I was reading while I was in Cambridge an inspiring little book called Eternity in Their Hearts. A wonderful account by an American missionary of primitive tribes in Burma, South America, India, China, and many parts of Africa. In other words, tribes from all over the world who have all their religious practices. But in many of them, they knew in their hearts that these religious practices which they had were not to do with the true God. And some of them, they had a little building, a little hut, separated for the time when they would learn of the true God. And in that hut, they didn't allow any carvings or idols, because they knew the true God, you couldn't make a picture of him or draw or a carving of him. But they didn't know of him, so they had their other religious practices. But they were waiting for a day when someone with a book would come. Surprising how many had that hope that someone with a book would come to bring them to the true God, whom they didn't know. I can't remember whether I've told you this story or not, but if I have, please forgive me. I was lecturing in Glasgow Bible College a year or so ago, and a Japanese student after the class came to me and told me that he had been converted to Christ through the prayers of his mother. But the interesting thing was, his mother had never heard of Christ or the Bible. She saw all the shrines and all the idols of the Shinto religion in Japan, and she thought, there must be a real God beyond all this. There must be a true God. And she prayed, oh God, please make yourself known to my son. And the answer to that prayer was that he came to Christ. Don't you think that's a marvelous story? I think it's most moving. The apostles were not religious philosophers, but they were witnesses of the resurrection of Christ. They proclaimed that what they preached was true because they had seen it. Therefore they had hope, therefore they were able to have faith and love. Now Paul prays for progress in growth. He says, for this, verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Paul says that we're to grow in faith. I was brought up to believe, you know, that you didn't grow in faith and holiness, that you came in sudden jumps. You were converted, then you were at this level, and then you went to a big convention meeting, and then your faith jumped high up again. But Paul doesn't say that. He says that our faith grows. And he gives us three words that he uses for knowledge, in our growth in knowledge. He talks about knowledge of his will. He talks about wisdom. And he talks about understanding. Now, if I understand the Greek correctly, knowledge of his will means to discern and understand what God likes, what God wants. Wisdom means knowledge of the basic doctrine of Christian faith. Understanding means how to apply these truths to our lives today. And Paul prays that in all these areas we may grow. And he says the purpose of this is that our lives might be worthy of the Lord and please Him. Does your life and does my life please the Lord? Is He pleased with us? Verse 11, he says he wants us to be strengthened with power. The power of the Spirit to do mighty works, do you think? We would like a more dramatic church life, wouldn't we? Real power. I'd like that. But that's not what Paul means here. Here he says he wants us to be strengthened so that we will have power to what? To have endurance and patience. Endurance means to endure difficult circumstances. Can you think of examples in the world, in the news, amongst your friends, amongst your family, in your own life, where there is something that you just have to endure? Paul prays that we might have the power to do that. Then he prays not only that we have endurance, but we have patience. If endurance is endurance with difficult circumstances, patience is patience with difficult people. We have to be patient with people too. Is there someone you must be more patient with? That's the power that we need, according to these verses. The only thing that can keep us going in difficult times and amongst difficult people is hope. And hope gives us faith and love. And only the word of truth can give us that hope. Lord, we thank you for your word which speaks to our hearts. We pray that we may indeed grow in knowledge and wisdom and understanding, so that our hope through your word of truth might be strong and real, so that in our daily lives we might show forth faith and love as you, Lord, have loved us. For Christ's sake, amen.